You're listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. I'm an intuitive, astrologer, writer, and mother, but mostly I'm a gal navigating spirituality in a refreshingly real and honest way. Join me as I share weekly energetic insights and laugh out loud real moments of my personal journey into more heart, more soul, and a whole lot of fun along the way. Well, hello there. It's been some time. I unintentionally took an extended season break. Hi, everyone. I'm back. I hope you didn't think I left you forever. I wanted to say sorry as well. And I've been rehearsing when I come back what I'm going to say. And then I had to catch myself and go, Holly, you don't apologize for taking the break that you needed, you know? And I think if anything, let this be a lesson for all of us that if you need more time than you said you've needed, for anything really, within reason, of course, take the time. And that's what I've done. So my last episode of season 3, which was totally unintentional, by the way, if you go back and listen, it's the one about Operation Life Force, which P.S. has been deeply underway. And I say, yeah, pretty sure I'm feeling good. So I'm going to be back for What's the Vibe next week. And I'm like, oh no. And she never returned. But to be honest, I think it was me being in integrity with what my life force energy needed, which was a break. And not because I don't enjoy doing this. I love it so much, but my energy was being pulled, and to a degree still is, if I'm honest, in multiple different directions. And you guys know this, if you're avid listeners of the podcast, what I have to look at is very seriously, what are the first things that I need to cut where I'm not receiving enough back when things become too much? And for me, it's just the nature of what I do for work is I generate my own income. I don't rely on anyone else to provide me with stable income. And so when I am depleted like I was for the entirety of the month of March and needing to recalibrate and bring my energy back online, the first thing that actually had to go for me to get more rest was anything that wasn't generating me income. And that was obviously the podcast. But on that, I will say, before we dive into all of everything, I am on the hunt for someone who wants to join my team in the capacity of a brand partnerships sponsorship manager role. So if that's you and you're listening to this and going, oh yeah, I can absolutely do this, please get in touch, because this Soul Talk, this little Soul Talk thing, I would love for it to generate its own income. So it's not one of the first things to go when I need space for myself. That would be really nice. So if that's you or someone you know, please get in touch with me. That would be amazing. But on that, I decided to take a break until it felt like I had enough to give back. And I did have my best friend and her little boy come and stay with us for a chunk of time. And then my mom came and stayed for a week. So it was really hard for me to be present with them and then think about all of the things I had to do outside of, you know, being a full-time stay-at-home mother, as well as generate income, as well as look after myself. So that's where I've been, really. Nothing dire, nothing heavy, and also nothing I'm going to apologize for, because I'm of the belief that we don't need to apologize for taking the time that we need for ourselves. So let this be a beautiful, shiny mirror for you in any space that you apologize for your needs, you know? And this is actually a big theme we're going to see as we shift, and we were already touching on it, but as we shift into this big nodal axes, shift into Aries North Node collectively and Libra South Node in July, when this really hits, are we going to need to get very, very unapologetic with our wants, our needs, and our desires? So let this be a really beautiful example of being unapologetic for whatever your needs are when it comes to self-care, tending to self, and looking after you. But that said, I'm so happy to be back. You may have heard the new intro. I was very aware that every time you were listening to Soul Talk season 3, and even season 2 to a degree, it would have been like conversations with fascinating people, and then I was chatting with myself. So we've had a little glow up in that regard. And I like the way that Soul Talk runs itself, where I basically use this platform as my journal. And if there is ever an opportunity for a really profound conversation with someone outside of me talking to me, then absolutely. But I think we've got plenty of those podcasts doing the rounds. And it's just, to be honest, again, too much energy exertion to organize, arrange, set up schedules, think about someone else's schedule in amongst mine. Being a solo podcast feels like effortless in this season of my life. So that's what we're going with. That is what we're going with. And I guess what I wanted to do today was a bumper episode, kind of like a welcome back season four, let's get this party started type vibe, where I'm going to lead in with some what's the vibe energy. There's a lot moving through, so I'll see what wants to come through today, and then we'll get back into normal routine next week, where it's the Tuesday what's the vibe and the Friday all-encompassing ep. But for today, it's going to be a melting pot just to get my energy back in flow, and also because I'm recording this on a Tuesday and I want this episode out by Friday. But then in my head I was like, but it can't be a what's the vibe because that's going to be on a Friday, because I've got a lot of Virgo in my chart, remember? So things need to be like precise and in order. And so, yeah, I'm breaking my own rules here and we're doing a bumper ep. But let's start with what's the vibe. I'm going to take a sip of water. So it's probably a good time that I'm back in your ears to explain what the hell is happening cosmically, because there is a lot. There is a lot, and I'm sure you're privy to it. I'm sure you're aware, because we all live in the land of Instagram pop culture astrologers, don't we? Everyone's like, oh, Mercury's in retrograde again. Be careful. It's a scary time. Oh my gosh, there's also eclipses going on. This is full on. And I'm not going to lie and say it's not a cosmically intense time in some ways. I mean, yes, you can look at it through that perspective, but something that many people have been speaking to this time around, which I'm really in agreeance with, like my beautiful astrology teacher and mentor, Jules Ferrari, and even Emmy Ray shared this in her Eclipse Daily Rest Practice. And it's something that I also spoke to unintentionally, realizing that these beautiful women had also touched on it in their sessions, but I also spoke to it on my stories, is there is a lot of fear-mongering happening, even through, astrological accounts. And it's basically clickbait, let's be real. Like, you can smell that a mile off. And we think of any news, any current affairs, anything, not just astrological-based, but I'm talking like mainstream, broad spectrum. What sells papers? What gets eyes on screens? What gets people clicking on your posts? Fear-mongering. So if you're feeling the intensity of other people's projections of this astrological time, I would highly encourage you to be discerning with the content you consume, and also take everything with a grain of salt, because you have control. It's not like, Mercury has you like a puppet on a string and its moves are orchestrating your life choices. You know, when people come and sit opposite me for a reading, one of the first things I say is, you have free will. I am reading a snapshot of energy and time that can change depending on the choices you do or do not make and the actions you do or do not take. And it rhymes, so you know it's true. But the same goes with any cosmic movement. And I say this to my psychic studies girls all the time, you know, forewarned is forearmed. And that's not to say we're going into battle with these energies. It's just that awareness is key, because once you have awareness, you can tread a little lighter. You can go a little slower. You can be more considered. Like right now, I've made sure that my microphone is working as I record this podcast. You know, I've made sure that the recording is on. I've plugged my laptop in. It's just, this is a time for us to be thorough and not rushed in all of our, I guess the other word is considered, in all of our actions, to ensure that, you know, funny little slip ups don't happen. And that's not to say that we're going to be able to dodge every bullet. I have a friend of mine who shared on her stories yesterday that her little kids decided to key her car as artistic creativity. Oh my God, I cringe. Like, that is prime Mercury retrograde eclipse season energy of chaos, right? And it wouldn't have mattered what she did. That was probably going to happen, you know? But it's not that she deserved that and the planets were out to get her and, oh my God, woe is me. It's okay, my car got keyed. Fuck. what can I do to support myself moving through the chaos of this moment? How can I come back into my body as I move through the chaos of this moment? How do I not allow this to spin me completely out of my body? You know? So let's look at a few of the moving parts, and I might dive into detail in the next What's the Vibe on one of them. Right now, we are in an eclipse portal. And I was speaking to this about this to my psychic studies girls last week again, and portals are highly concentrated energy portals. You can't describe a word with a word, but I just did. Deal with it. It's highly concentrated energy centers. Let's do that. And so portals are thin lines between the cosmos and other dimensions. And it's where cosmic realms get a little blurry. And it's because the energy is so impacted and intense. So you can have eclipse portals, which yes, we're in right now. You could have the birth portal is a very, very big one where, you know, time doesn't exist. You're not really in reality. You're experiencing this highly concentrated energy. The grief and death portal is another example of a portal. Energy is highly concentrated. You're in and out of reality. You don't know what time it is. It's that sort of hazy energy. So we have been moving through for the last almost 2 years, eclipses in the Taurus Scorpio axes. And if you've listened to What's the Vibe repetitively, you will know that I continue to speak about the North Node and the South Node that we've been experiencing collectively. The North Node has been in Taurus and still is until mid-year, and the South Node is in Scorpio. And anytime that there is an eclipse, we know that they're going to land in the nodal shifts we're experiencing as a collective. So every eclipse that we have experienced in the last 2 years has been in Taurus and Scorpio. But what you will have noticed is, while yes, we're about to experience the completion of this eclipse portal with our full moon in Scorpio. Remember, Scorpio is the opposite sign of Taurus, and the full moon lands in the opposite sign that it falls in. So it's Taurus season. We've got the full moon in Scorpio on the 6th of May, right? So that is going to be what we call a lunar eclipse. Lunar equals moon. So we've got the full moon lunar eclipse happening in Scorpio, but we've just experienced a week ago the new moon eclipse in Aries. Interesting. So what's actually happening here are the energies of Taurus and Scorpio are handing the baton over to the energies of Aries and Libra, because they are going to be the new north and south nodes collectively that we are going to experience. So this is why we've just experienced the solar, the new moon eclipse in Aries. And it's like what's coming through to me is the image of like open bracket, close bracket. Yeah. So Aries, this new moon eclipse, we're about to experience for the next 2 years, eclipses in Aries and Libra. And the themes of Aries in its north node expression and Libra in its south node expression, and the shadow and the light that comes with both of these signs. But at the moment, we're in this transition period, and we're going to be in this transition period up until, my little girl can't wait for it, up until mid-year. So right now, as you're listening to this, we are in the middle of the eclipse portal of Aries new moon solar eclipse, leading into Scorpio full moon lunar eclipse, which will happen on May 6th. So we're kind of in this, I want to say it's like a watery in between. So eclipse portals as an energy, they are heightened energetically, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be, drastic. There's usually some sense of big change, potentially chaos, potentially big falling away of things. And this could simply be your own identity in the way you see yourself or the way you see life. Like, I feel like a lot of the time when people hear about the chaos that is the eclipse portal, they're like, oh my God, someone I love's going to die. Like, you know, it's like we go to the most extreme, or like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job, or whatever it is. And this is more of an opportunity for you to soften into that beautiful yet very, very hard to anchor into energy of surrender and trust. The two of those, if you can nail surrender and trust in the next 2 weeks, and honestly, in your life in general, you are going to find that no matter what is offered to you in these seasons, you are going to be able to face them. You're never given anything you are unable to face. I mean, think about everything you faced to get to this point today, and you have moved through it. And the eclipse season is not to destroy you at all. This is about what wants to be let go of, what wants to fall away, and what wants to reform, what wants to take new shape. Aries energy, with the new moon eclipse that we just experienced, Aries energy is all about forward momentum, action taking, and wants, needs, and desires, getting really clear on how that looks. Depending on where the eclipse transits your chart will depend on what part of your chart this lights up. And for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, this is a time where you could get a transit reading with an astrologer for them to say, okay, this is when the next eclipse is going to hit your chart, and these are the kind of key themes that are going to be coming up for you. So for instance, the new moon eclipse hit my 10th house, and the 10th house is all things business, money, and it was in opposition to my moon in Libra, my natal moon in Libra in the fourth house. And so I knew that I was likely going to experience money stuff, business stuff, and probably inner child stuff. And I tell you what, within 24 hours of the eclipse hitting, all of those things had come up. And it didn't mean they didn't feel uncomfortable, but I could almost giggle amongst the tears going, none of this is by accident. None of this is my doing. I'm not missing anything or doing anything wrong. This is happening for me. Yeah. So it could be cool for you to pull up your natal chart on astro.com. And when you click the little button on the top right, it says with transits, you can have a look at where the next eclipse is going to fall in your chart. And that will take you looking at, I haven't actually looked at what degrees the full moon in Scorpio will be landing at. And then you literally just find where that, that degree point is on your chart. But if that sounds way too convoluted, this is why we have astrologers. Okay. So get a reading or take what you see online with a grain of salt. So amongst this portal of energy, and next week I'll talk more into the Taurus Scorpio energy. That's what feels right for What's the Vibe next week, the Taurus and Scorpio archetypes, because I'm seeing it in everyone in my life. All of the money stuff is coming up again. And did I not say this would? Did I not say this would a few What's the Vibes ago? Everyone's money stuff is coming up at the moment. And this is Taurus Scorpio axis. This is the North Node, South Node. Like, shit is getting real if you haven't looked at this stuff yet, because we've only got a few months left for us to make these changes. So again, if you've been suppressing or ignoring getting your finances sorted and all these things, again, it's not by accident. Taurus and Scorpio want you to do this. They want you to look at this. It's not just money, but that's the piece I'm seeing as a strong undercurrent at the moment. So we'll talk about the archetypes of Taurus and Scorpio next week and what you can do to really embody the lessons of these archetypes. Number one, in Scorpio, in Taurus season, and number two, with these nodes on our side. But the other transit that we're moving through at the moment is Mercury is retrograding. And Mercury retrograde is another one of those things that gets kind of diluted in terms of either people fear it or people take the piss out of it and they don't take it seriously. And it's like, oh, is Mercury in Gatorade again? Ha, ha, ha. And it's very annoying. I get very annoyed. It's like, well, it's probably going to hurt you. No, it will never. Well, I mean, I'll never say never, but yeah, Mercury's not out to get you. I take it seriously because I have what is known as a Mercurian chart, where majority of my placements are Mercury ruled. So you'll know that if you have personal planets in Gemini or Virgo. So I'm a Gemini rising, and I have my Mars, Mercury, and Venus in Virgo. So my Mercury is in Virgo, and then I've got them I've got my Venus in Virgo in the third house, which is ruled by Gemini. So I've got lots of Mercurian energy in my chart. And so I really do feel when Mercury goes into retrograde, and it's taken me years to get into right relationship with this transit and not fear it. And I genuinely do not fear it. And I'll tell you why. Because it is such a beautiful opportunity to slow the fuck down. And for those of you who refuse to do that, it will come and bite you in the ass. It will. You'll forget to press recording on a Zoom presentation you're meant to record. You'll be rushing to a meeting and you'll need to fill your car up with petrol, and then there'll be a detour and probably a traffic jam and you'll run late. Like, this is the time for us to be slow and considered with our actions, especially when it comes to transportation, technology, communication. I had someone reach out to me last week and say, Holly, I wonder if you can help me with this. You know, there's a really great opportunity that's come through for my work. But because it's Mercury retrograde, should I just be ignoring this opportunity and not proceeding? That is not it. Like, that is what, this is what frustrates me. This is what pop culture astrology is doing. It's making us fearful of moving forward at all in a transit. That's not what this energy wants you to do. But it does want you to be very considered. And considered doesn't mean stopping, stalemating, procrastinating, not at all. But it does mean getting everything in writing, getting a second set of eyes to check over things. If you are going to sign a contract, like, get four people to read it for you as well. Like, be thorough. This isn't the time, like, this will be the time that you have typos if you're launching a program. You know, people say don't launch programs. I'm launching Coherence at the moment. P.S. If you want to sit cacao ceremony with me once a month and my beautiful friend Cass once a month as well, join Coherence. It'd be great to see you. This episode is brought to you by Coherence. But you know what I mean? This can be a really liberated time for you if you choose it to be. Mercury retrograde is a time where your intuition is going to be heightened because you are sensing more externally. I love giving readings in Mercury retrograde. They are always, channel is just so much easier to access. Dreams are more vivid, you know. That said, if you are dreaming of, if you're dreaming of like an ex-lover or an ex-partner and you're like, oh, maybe that's my intuition telling me to reach out to them, like, catch yourself in that, because Mercury is the energy of digging up things from the past to bring it forth for any kind of closure or conclusions. It really doesn't mean, oh, I dreamt about my ex last night, so it means we're going to get back together. It's not that vibe, but it's, I dreamt about my ex last night. What is it about that experience that I'm seeking more of? Is it more recognition? Is it more love? How can I give that to myself? This is an opportunity for you to be really liberated in these transits and not play victim to them, which can happen to the best of us. And, you know, I'll say flippantly to people, oh, yeah, definitely blame Mercury on that one. And it's the truth. Like, I said it to my friend who got a car keyed by kids. I was like, you can definitely blame the eclipse and Mercury on that one. But it's not that, you know, go through your life and be like, oh, that's, don't use them as a cop out. That's what I want to say. So yes, there are big movements happening right now. We've just shifted from Aries to Taurus season. There's a lot happening. So potentially here's what I have been feeling in terms of collectively and personally. Exhaustion and fatigue, very warranted. If you are a very sleepy gal at the moment, that is very justified. We are nature. We are the cosmos. We are made up of stars and energy and magic. So because of all these movements happening, big movements as well, there was lots that happened in March, it would be very reasonable for you to be having some sort of energetic hangover, some sort of emotional purging and releasing. I felt yesterday completely suffocated by my own perception of what everyone else in my life wanted from me. And that wasn't anyone else's fault. It was my, it was coming up for me. You know, that feeling you get when it's like grabby energy, it's like, oh, more people want more things from me. It was that kind of energy of, well, where are you not creating discernment and boundaries in your life where people actually gauge what they can or can't ask for from you, if that makes sense. So this is a time for you to be very, very polished and considered and slow with your energy, what you're allowing yourself to absorb externally, what you're saying yes to when you really, really wanted to say no. How can you show up more transparently and honestly in your relationship dynamics? And truly, I wrote a book on it. How can you put yourself first? And I say that little bit loosely as a mother, because obviously mothers, we don't have the luxury of that and our children always come first. But then outside of that, where are you choosing, you know, what ball needs to drop? Because we do need to drop some balls right now to feel our energy back up. And that probably doesn't mean, like, if you're anything like me right now, I don't know when I'm going to get to a point of overflow in this season of my life right now. And that's just me. You know, we say, fill yourself up to the point of overflow so you can give to all the people. It's great to say you're in certain life seasons, but right now I'm just filling myself up in the pockets that I get to do that, not with the intention of overflowing, but with the intention of, okay, I got my hour in today, whatever that practice is of you feeling self. Very important, especially in these highly concentrated energetic times. I'm going to leave the what's the vibe piece there, because I'll dive more into transits as they come up. But if you have specific questions about everything that's moving at the moment, please jump in the Facebook group, ask me what they are, and I'll address them in upcoming episodes of What's the Vibe. Like, if you want me to dive more into the Aries Libra nodal shift and when that happens and what that means, let me know. If you want me to talk more about Mercury retrograde in detail, let me know. If you are happy for me to talk about Taurus season and the energy and Scorpio South Node and that upcoming eclipse, let me know. But also, I go into heaps of detail in monthly upcoming transits in my monthly Coherence membership. I'm literally going to, like, sponsor my episode. This is it. This episode was brought to you by my monthly Cacao Ceremony membership, Coherence. We've had a glow up and we kick off our first ceremony. So we meet on the first of the month and then every new moon. And me and Cass both facilitate a beautiful cacao ceremony. We use the plant medicine of cacao. We've been initiated and permitted by the Seven Rays lineage. They're a beautiful ancient Andean lineage. And each month we gather for two ceremonies and honor the cyclic rhythms that we're moving through. I speak channeled wisdom for the month ahead. It's beautiful. So you can join over on my website and you can join at any time now. I used to close them off each month and every 3 months. You can join any time now. You get access to all the replays. It's all there. So What's the Vibe this week is brought to you by Coherence by Holly Azapati. All right, let's dive into what's had my bee in a bonnet. What's had my bee in a bonnet? Because that usually brings the best chat. No, I don't know how many of you actually connect with me over on social media. So forgive me if I'm repeating what I've already spoken to over there, but I have started a Substack. And the reason that I started, for those of you who don't know what Substack is, it's a long form writing, kind of like a blog page, and it's dedicated to writers and also podcast hosts, which I might look at some point, but I'm predominantly using it for writing right now. And the reason that I started this was, firstly, obviously, love to write, and it's a really great outlet when Instagram caps your captions, and I always have to end up with that second chunk in the comments that no one reads, and so then they don't get the impact of the whole caption. But I also was activated, and I have been for a little while, around this conversation that feels very, it's lacking of depth that I'm noticing online. And I was going to say no judgment, but to be honest, it brings up judgment in me, and I don't like that about myself. But the best way for me to move through my own judgment that I'm experiencing, or criticisms that I'm experiencing internally, or anger or rage, which all of those energies have come up, is for me to write it out. And so my first piece on Substack was around what I'm just going to put voice to a little bit today. And it's around this conversation that has just emerged. I think it's been dwelling for a little while. I've noticed it for a few months. And it's this conversation around, you know, the traditional, I'm saying this in inverted commas, PS, the traditional roles of the masculine and the feminine, in families. And it's really upsetting me. There is so much that I believe is wrong in this conversation today to be having. And what I'm seeing are lots of highly influential platforms with the undercurrent of their messaging in this is basically when women become wives and mothers, they belong in the home and dedicating their entire life force energy to their family and their husbands. And there are too many women in their masculine energy, and women, you know, shouldn't be experiencing anger because then that's not a safe space for their husband, and they should be softening so that he feels safe to be the provider. And it's word vomit. It's word vomit with no real substance. Because I actually have emotion around this. It gets me really worked up. Because what I'm seeing are these conversations are being had by firstly people who aren't married, and secondly people who do not have children. And it really grinds my gears because it's like someone who's never run a business will starting to speak about ways that they will run a business one day. You can't talk about something like that until you're in it, unless you're in it. You can talk about a season you're in abso-frickin-lutely, but I think we're treading on very dangerous territory here when we're claiming that this is the way women should be, and this is why women aren't experiencing being held by insert king fucking archetype chat here. And it is seeped in blaming women. The undercurrent, and I've seen this conversation had by men, and I've seen this conversation had by women. And from both angles, the conversation that I'm witnessing is, women, you need to do more. Women, you need to change. Women, you need to be safer for men. Like, how can we expect the men to meet us here if, like, this rhetoric is very, it's treading on thin ice as far as I'm concerned. I'm not afraid to say that I'm a feminist, and I know, and I write about this in my Substack. I know that can be synonymous with man-hating. I'm not a man-hater. You guys know that. I've been in a relationship with my husband for 15 years. I love him to death. I definitely have father wounds, abso-fucking-lutely. I definitely have been challenged by men multiple times in my life, absolutely, just as much as women, might I add. And it's not that piece. It's such an easy bypass to say that, oh, well, you've just got more wounding and work to do. Oh, you're emasculating your partner. Ugh, the emasculating chat. Oh my God, it makes me want to pull my hair out. And I know that it's almost like this conversation would fall on deaf ears for the people that are having it. But I'm just having this conversation for the women and the mothers, especially, that are feeling a bit jarred by what's being discussed and thinking, yeah, you know, I do need to soften a bit more. I shouldn't be as angry. Gals, we have lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of deep-seated trauma, not just for ourselves, but our mothers and our grandmothers. We're allowed to be fucking angry. We are allowed to feel unsafe with men. And that does not mean that we then need to be a bit safer for them. Absolutely not. Women and mothers, especially, we are depleted, defeated, and highly impressionable. So when someone comes and says, well, this is your answer, you need to fix XYZ, then many of us will look at that and go, okay, I'm doing something wrong. It's me. I'm doing it wrong. It's internalized misogyny. It is, in my opinion. It's berating and shaming women for being in masculine traits. And also, it's very much treading on thin ice when it comes to this traditional gender stereotypes and the full spectrum that is actually reality now. I have many, many gay friends that are not going to buy into the traditional role of a male or the traditional role of a female or of a husband and wife. But these conversations are in absolutes. There's no nuance, and that's dangerous. That is dangerous. And it is verging on fundamentalism, and it is verging on patriarchal standards that have been conditioned through church times. And it's verging on, well, I mean, it's pretty much dogmatic. If your relationship isn't like this, then it must be that the woman is emasculating the man. if a relationship is not like this, then maybe you should offer your body up more to the man. Maybe you should be more soft in your yoni. Whatever the chat is, it genuinely makes me feel sick to my stomach because there's some bypassy shit happening here. And that doesn't mean it's not your truth. Amazing if it's your truth, but do not speak in absolutes, especially when you have influential platforms, because we've highly impressionable men and women who think they're doing something wrong when the fact of the matter is this is life, especially as a mother, especially in long-term relationships. You are going to have moments where you emasculate your partner and they do in return, right? You are going to have moments where the last thing you want to do, I'm talking years sometimes, is want to take your clothes off and be with your partner in intimacy because you've had a really traumatic birth. And this is what really gets under my skin, is that there's no space for nuance in these conversations because these people haven't even experienced the full spectrum of life, and yet they're talking as if they know and they're talking as if they have. And that's what really grinds my gears. So that's where I've been. I want you to know that if you're a woman who is in more of her masculine energy because you are a fucking mother and that's how we get through our days, you are not the problem. You are not the problem. Your partner also isn't the problem. And guess what else isn't? Mask and femme dynamics. That is not the issue. The issue is a society that has completely disregarded mothers, thinks they know what it's like to mother when they never have before, and are telling us how we should feel versus actually listening. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with me. If all you're doing is what you can to get through each day, because it's really, really hard to show up as a woman and a mother in this day and age, and you're receiving outside intel and noise that is telling you just soften a bit more, just drop into your femme a bit more, and you're finding that really, really hard, don't feel like that's the only path to take. Yeah. Let yourself be angry. Let yourself be worked up. Let yourself share with your partner, who, if they're solid, will absolutely receive it, what you actually need from them to feel safe with them, to feel softer in your body with them. Let them know. And that sometimes is going to come out as criticism, because we are human. And we are exhausted and we are sleep deprived and we are desiring recognition in the roles that we do that most of the time go without any acknowledgement or thanks. So if you want to read my full take on that, jump on over to my Substack. I think you can just search my name. It's called Soul Talk for the Mothers. I'm going to be writing more of my mother chat over there. And I am also going to be having a stronger conversation about this with a good friend of mine on her new podcast that's coming out soon. So keep an eye out for that, or an ear out for that, if this is a conversation that you are interested in partaking in. It really has worked me up, as you can see. The next conversation I'm going to write to, and I'll probably speak to at some point as well, is around judgment on other people's romantic relationships and thinking that we have any role in criticizing the way people relate to one another. You'll notice that I don't talk much about my relationship with Trent at all. I have 15 years under my belt. We have gone through many, many iterations of self together. I kind of know a thing or two about this, but also I don't feel the need to speak to other people or preach about relationship. It's not my job. It's not my role. And everyone is so uniquely different, and the way we relate is so uniquely different. Anyway, I could go on and on, clearly. So I am going to leave that little fiery, fiery potty in your ears. She's back. Welcome back. Season 4 in a big way. It's so good to be back in your ears. I'll be back next week for the double eps. And in the meantime, if you listening to this have experience in brand partnerships, sponsorships, and would be interested in coming on board the team to help out with sponsorship for the Soul Talk podcast and brand opportunities for the Holly as a Party brand, please email me hello@hollyasaparty.com. That'd be amazing. And hopefully I see some of you guys in Coherence. That would be really, really nice to sit ceremony with you. Our first ceremony is May 1st. So you've got a few days to jump in. $60 for the month. You get 2 beautiful ceremonies and a bunch of other gorgeous things, which you can check out on my site. See you guys next week, if not earlier, on Insta or in the Facebook group.
Bye.
You've been listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Enjoyed today's ep? Remember to share, subscribe, and leave a little rating if you like what you heard. And join us over on Facebook. Just search Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Until next time.